through there, say amen, so I know, please. Happy Father's Day to you, my brothers. Enjoy yourselves today with your family. I don't comment too much on all the stuff going around as far as apart from the Word of God, but between the protests, counter and for, whatever direction you stand on that stuff, for or against, whatever it is, I will tell you this. There's one thing that is proven, and I love this, and if we can get this right, I think we'll all be better off for it. Some things are worth dying for. To whoever, right? Some things are worth dying for. And it sure beats sitting at home being afraid, or sitting at home doing nothing, or sitting at home under orders of the government who's telling us if we go out, we're going to die. Well, some things are worth dying for, right? Anyway, chapter 1, verse 15, the book of Colossians. If you're there, let's pray, ask God to bless the wisdom of His word through my mouth to all of our hearts. God, we thank you so much for your word. We ask you, please, to give us strength to be able to follow the direction that your heart is giving us, that that we would know what is the breadth and width and depth of your love, that we would know the path that you've chosen for us and without a doubt keep our feet on it without being distracted from it. We need you, God. We believe in you. Teach us the power of your word today. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Today's Bible study, I'm going to warn you right from the start, there's no way I do it justice. I really strongly recommend, from the perspective of exegeting it, if you don't know what exegeting is, that's a big fancy Bible study word for taking apart the chapter, verse by verse, deciphering, and analyzing every single word in the Greek or in the Aramaic, and that's called exegete, to exegete the passage. I suggest you do it with Chuck Missler. He does an amazing study, Chuck Smith does, and the reason is I'm going to stay over the surface of it because I try to study it, some of the stuff they were saying, and it's like, man, Chuck Missler gets into the physics, literally the physics of it, and the dimensionality of the power of God, how we started at three dimensions and wound up at seven, and then found out there was 10 dimensions in 1960. There was a theory, and the theory of relativity backed it up. I'm telling you, it's like coming up here and making believe that I know what I'm talking about. Just YouTube, Chuck Missler, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, if you're really into the depth of it. However, having said that, I think I got something prepared for you that'll bless you. Now, the chapter that we're about to read, the second half of the first chapter, it answers a lot of questions. If you were here last week, you found out that what the book of Colossians is for is to identify who Christ is and to solve some of the problems that were going on with, number one, Gnosticism, and number two, Judaism. Not Jewish, but Judaism. These were people who forced works down people, saying you can be closer to God if you do this. You can be closer to God if you do that. And now the Gnostics, G-N-O-S-T-I-C, whatever, the Gnostics were believers, but they did not believe in the actual person, physical, of Christ Jesus. Now, why is that important and why does this answer questions? One of the things I want to do is write down a list of questions that this chapter answers. But by the time I got to writing them, it was like a waste of time. But here's what I wanted to do. I want you to think about a religion. Any religion. 99.99910% of all religions, they have one thing in common. They do not believe that Jesus Christ was God. Very, very simple. What separates Christianity from other faith systems, from other belief systems? We believe that not only was he the Son of God, but he was God the Son. Amen? Amen. Muslims do not believe that Jesus Christ was God. They believe he was a prophet. The word for God to a Muslim in Arabic is Allah. And if you don't know, literally Allah means the unknowable God. What separates us as Christians from Muslims, from Islam, is our God is not unknowable. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. He goes to great lengths to be known. Come know me. Know how I work. Know what I'm going to do. You don't know. If you're a Muslim, you don't know if you are going to make it to heaven until the day you die. They say, should the Lord will. They say it about everything. In Salah, they say. If it's the Lord's will. Should Allah will. They don't know. He is the unknowable God. Judaism. Jews do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Whatever religion you're thinking, whether it be, let's think about some of the more popular ones. You've got the
Buddhists.
The Buddhists. They believe that he was a guru who ascended to heights, but they do not believe in a monotheistic God, a one-person God, as we believe. If you're talking about Jehovah's Witnesses, they do not believe he was a God. If you read the Bible, if you read the Jehovah's Witness Bible, and you read John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was God, and Jesus was a God. If you are believing in, what's that other one? Mormonism. If you believe in Mormonism, they believe that he was one of many gods, and that Satan and Jesus Christ were two sons of two gods who fought over a planet that is on the other side of the earth that we can't see until there's space travel, and now we know that was a heap of crap. And then, so they changed that up. You know, a lot of people come to church and say, you know, Ryan, I like when you teach the Bible, but I don't like when you say anything about other religions. I don't like that. A lot of people do that. They say, you know what? You can preach the Bible without making fun of anybody else's religion. Well, I don't like making fun, but here's what I have to do. I have to be honest, because if some of you guys either are walking down a bad path or you have family members that are, I want you to know that many people get deceived into not knowing the truth about what the Bible says. There is one chapter above all chapters in the entire Bible that goes to such great lengths to explain that Jesus Christ is God. It was Thomas, the great doubter, who did many great things for God, but he's only remembered for doubting God. He said, I won't believe that Jesus rose from the dead unless I could put my finger in the nail hole, put my hand in the side. And all of a sudden, like Casper, the friendly ghost, he walks through the wall and he says, hey, Thomas, check this out. Put your hand here. And you know what Thomas said to him? My Lord and my God. The great confession. I don't know what background of religion you come from. I know that there's a big movement of Jehovah's Witnesses in a lot of areas, and a lot of people that come here, they come out of that movement and they wonder because it's very strong. That religion is strong. It gets into people's hearts. Any religion that is so family oriented like that usually has a strong root to pull, and it must be pulled. And I don't want to get too far into other beliefs, but if you want, I will give you some resources. See me afterward, and I'll show you why Mormonism, Baha'ism, Buddhism, New Ageism, Armstrongism, I mean, whatever other religion that you come out of, denominationally speaking, why don't we believe in Pentecostalism? Why don't we believe in Baptists? Why don't we follow that? All good questions. You can see me afterward. Let's get to today's study, the chapter that we're going to read. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Who is he, first of all, guys? That's right. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, he's the image of the invisible God, believing first and foremost that he is what God looks like. He is what God sounds like. He is who God is. He is the very image. Do you understand that the Bible says that the Word is very much Jesus? That the Bible says that the Word was made flesh. And that he is the firstborn. You see that word for firstborn? You could circle it, and right next to it, you could write highest position. That is not first as in a number. It is first as in position. In different families in the Bible, you will notice that sons have been born second, third, some even later. Go back to the book of Genesis. Who is the favorite son of Jacob? Anybody? Joseph. Was Joseph born first? Yet he is the firstborn son. That word for firstborn meaning preeminent. He is the favored. Even Joseph, one of his children, he had two children, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Jacob blessed the second son. And Joseph grabbed his father's hand and says, no, Dad, no, no. The first son, he goes, no. I know what I'm doing. This shall be the firstborn. Now, what does that have to do with anything? Listen, Esau and Jacob, who is the firstborn? Esau, yet who became the firstborn? This is why that is really, really important to understand. That the Lord Jesus is preeminent over all creation. He is God. He is God Almighty. He's not your homeboy. He's not your pal. When you call on the Lord Jesus, make sure there's a bit of whisper in your breath. Don't speak of him anything less than everything he is. You following me? Continuing with that thought, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. The Lord Jesus, according to chapter 8 of the book of Proverbs, says that his name, one of his names, is the Master Craftsman. Everything that was made through him. Now, some of you guys are like, yeah, duh, we got this, that he's God. You're kind of beating that horse. I want you to remember to elevate him into the right position. We have, a couple of weeks ago, when we're looking for the Philippians, we talked about how he took off his godship. We looked at the kino word, if you guys remember. He took it off and he became less than God. In the way that he moved around, he became a person. Well, here, it re-elevates into the status that he belongs. Why is that important? Guys, he sees everything that you do. He hears everything that you say. He knows everything that you think. So that should do one of two things to you. Actually, it should do two things to you. Number one, it should make you walk what the Bible calls circumspectly. As my wife likes to tell me, you know, Ryan, God's going to hold you accountable for every idle word. If you call yourself a lover of God, do not be a lover of the world. You can drag the Lord Jesus down in the gutter with you all you want. You will find he's not a good drinking buddy. You're going to be miserable. You ever meet that guy that gets drunk? His person, he got saved, and he went out to hang out with his buddy. You know I'm a Christian now. What am I doing here? It's the saddest thing in the world. see a Christian do stupid things. It's like, you said what? You did what? And I know it takes time, guys. I know it takes time. But how long should it take? Ask yourself that question. How long should it take? If you believe he is the image of the invisible God, if you believe he is the firstborn of all creation, if you believe in the Son of God, then let me tell you my testimony. When I was in New York, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. I knocked on the rectory door of my church in my neighborhood. And eventually a priest opened the door. And I said, Father, I'm probably going to die in the next day or two, and I don't want to go to hell. Would you please bless me? I need to be baptized, because back then I thought if you weren't baptized, you're not. I never was baptized. He was like, I can't baptize you. I said, but what if I die and I go to hell? I said, can you at least bless me? So the guy, he looked at me, and his collar was kind of, he had a shirt on, but his collar was kind of like, hang on, I'll never forget that. You look at me, and he went, Dominus Hominis. Thank you, Father. And then it was a few months later, I moved down to Florida. And for 5 years, I drug my Savior around the pits and valleys of my life. I allowed him to see me at my worst. Now listen, I'm telling you this stuff for a reason. It's going to make sense in a few minutes toward the end of this chapter. But I'm asking you this question. I'm not trying to get in your business. I thought it was grace. Yeah. We're grace. Absolutely. God's grace saves us. But please don't forget, he's a holy God. He's a mighty God. He's an all-knowing God. And sometimes you just need somebody to snatch you up by your collar and shake you up a little bit and go, hey, what are you doing? I had a friend, his name was Bob Cunningham, and one day when I was just a couple years old in the Lord, I was playing softball, and my father came, and we were talking, and my father said something to me, yeah, you really messed that one up, and I looked at him and I said, well, no, Sherlock, you ever know that saying, no, Sherlock, and my buddy walked up to me and said, hey, come here, he goes, hey, man, you're a little too far along in this thing to be doing that. I'm like, come on, man, what are you, a legalist? Can't even say a word. Said, man, we leave that stuff behind. I said, and if that makes me look like a legalist, I'll take it. I said, but man, let's leave that stuff behind now. Yeah, he was right. He was a brother trying to sharpen another brother. Hey, man, don't do that anymore. Listen again. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him, and this is the key, and for him. I want you to know that if you had the vision to look to the things that are visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, he created even the devil. The Bible says God created even the wicked for the day of doom. This is not some massive struggle like we used to think that here's God and here's the devil and oh, who's going to win? No. With the exception of God, the Lord Jesus coming down as a man and whooping the devil as a man in Matthew chapter 4, he doesn't shudder at the sound. The enemy only can do what God allows him to do. And whether it be President Trump, President Obama, any other nation, Angela Merkel, or Germany, Russia, you name it, thrones and dominions were created by God. He raises one up to put him just where he wants it to be so that when all things come together in the very end, and the rapture occurs, and the last war happens, and it's a perfect puzzle that he's put together. All things were made for him. He has a plan. And guys, please understand this. And I realize that this is like one of those technical boxes, like, dude, I don't know what you're talking about. This is boring the crap out of me. Whatever. You got to learn this stuff too. A little bit of broccoli is good. Listen what I tell you now. God has a plan for your life. Now, that might sound like, yeah, I've heard that before. But do you know that? Do you know that God has a plan for your life, Grace? Grace. God has a man. Come here, I'm talking to you. Get over here. God has a job picked out for you. He has a school picked out for you. He has children picked out for you. He has a man picked out for you, but in that reverse order. God has a really, really good plan for your life. Okay, you can go now. You too, Sarah, Ange, Angela. I was looking at Sarah, but now I'm looking at Angela. He has a plan for you. And if you follow his plan, do you know what the plans are that he has for you? They're good plans, Wayne. Good plans. A plan of prosperity. A plan to give you a hope and a future. Does anybody not know? Does anybody think they've gone too far out of God's plan? They've reached out. They've messed up too much. God must have forgot. This is crazy. I want you to know that where you are today is exactly where God knew you were going to be, and he's ready to redeem what was broken and give you what's new. Even you, Danielle. You see, he made thrones and dominions, principalities and powers, the things that you see and the things that you don't see. If we had a little glimpse right now into the heavenlies, let me tell you what would go on. If you had the visual of the things that are in the spiritual world and the things that are in the physical world, right now, as in the physical world, you guys are seeing Amanda and Anthony walk in. But you don't see into the spiritual world the demons that left them when they walked in the door, that made them get into a fist fight at home, that made the kids... Did you guys get into a fist fight? You won, right? Amanda, you won? Yeah. Oh, man. She's taking kickboxing now. Yeah. No, but I'm serious. If you saw into the heavenlies right now, if you saw into the spiritual world, above every single person, there's a battle going on. There's somebody who's trying to swat away. As I'm speaking the word of God, these things are flying around. They might look like arrows. They might look like angels trying to fight them, and one's trying to stick one into this kid's head, and one's trying to jam one into this guy's heart. And if you could see that these things were created by God and that there is a battle, listen to me. I am not saying something unbiblical. I'm not trying to be pictorial here. I'm not trying to be weird. I'm trying to tell you what's going on. And some of you guys, like the ancient gates of our old Roman city, they've been closed for so long. Like, it's kind of weird. Tony walked up to me today. Where's Tony? Is he here? Oh, there he is. Tony walked up and gave me a big hug. Bro, I just whispered some things in my ear, and I'm just like, man, no. The things that get in your heart and you hold on to, like, man, let it. It's all right. Don't let it. Let it go. My daughter Arlie used to always say something to me. Do you remember Arlie what you used to say? Daddy, 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 build a bridge and get over it. There are ancient gates that need to be raised. There's a whole psalm that talks about that. Lift up you heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, and the King of glory will come in. Who is that king? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. And this is what's going on right now. You might not know it. And some of you guys are like, just shut up, man. What is it? Are you going to end? Are you going to stop talking? Usually you go to 12. If you go after 12, or are you like receiving right now the thing that the Lord has for you? Forget about me. Look past me, please. I'm speaking the word of God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things that were made, they're in heaven and earth, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or power. He is before all things. He has the preeminence. And anything else in your life is an idol. Anything else, whether alive or not alive. And I'm speaking these things to you right now, and there's an Like the old school TV shows, there's a devil on one arm and an angel on the other. Don't believe him. He's lying. No, believe him. It's good for your life. No, I don't want to hear it. And the sad, sad truth. Sad truth to some of these kids that are in here now. Oh, they're going to have to go through it. Drugs and alcohol, dropping out of school, pregnancy, having children out of wedlock. Some of them are just... they're bound and determined. And if they would just open their ears spiritually, they would just tell that devil, not interested. Oh, the pain that they could avoid. Ah.
For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And in him all things consist. You see that word that says consist there? That's a very interesting word in the Greek. I cannot pronounce it, but it literally means like this. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Held together. Ready? Now, why is that important from a physics point of view? Does anybody understand any physics? Do you understand that the world is made up of neurons and protons? No, some of you guys only know that the world's made up of croutons. I got it. Congratulations. I understand. Lunch is soon. Okay, you're going to have to deal with this anyway. But protons are positively charged and neutrons are negatively charged. You know that. So neutrons are neutrally charged. Right. Thank you, electrician. So neutrons are neutrally charged. Electrons are positively charged. Neutrons are negatively charged. Keep going.
So neutrons and protons are in the center, neutral and positive, and then electrons are around the outside, negative.
Where are the
protons?
So.
Hold on, John. Stop. So go ahead now again. Watch this, guys. Stay with me, please. Pay attention. Watch. Neutron.
Neutron.
Proton. Neutron, neutrally charged, positively charged. And what surrounds it? Okay, electrons that are negatively charged. Watch this. What happens when you take a magnet and you take the neutral side and put it near the positive side? Right? Okay, watch this. Why do cells stay together? What is the glue that keeps the cells together? If there's a negative or a neutral on one side and a positive, what keeps them together? Scientists have no idea what keeps them together. Do you understand this? They don't know what keeps these things together. The Bible says that in him all things consist. He holds them together. Listen to me. There's so many things that you're not being told. There's so many things that make no sense. They just discovered, just a couple years ago, in the depths of the sea,
The belly system of a dinosaur, complete with decomposing stomach contents. Super interesting story. Fox News the other day. This dinosaur, the whole stomach section, the rib cage, right into the stomach, it was somehow preserved by some immediate event that occurred, that literally a wall of muck or something fell on it, froze it, they found it, opened it up. Now here's the question. Does anybody believe that this was from the Mesozoic era, which some scientists claim is literally millions of years ago? Because if you still believe that, I have some property in Brooklyn I want to sell you. That's right. You didn't get that one? Honey, you didn't get that one? The point is, there is no such thing as evolution as a scientific fact. They teach it in the schools like it means something. They teach it in the schools. Even the smartest, Ben Shapiro even believes in, like, I'm sorry, it's not existent. You cannot tell me that millions of years have passed and there is still plant matter discernible in the belly of a dinosaur. Can't happen. No way. No way. Yeah, I loved Pluto too. He was my favorite. Oh, the planet Pluto. Oh, I thought you meant Disney Pluto. You guys with me? If things are negatively and positively charged, how could they stick together? It's certainly not from a neutral thing. And it's certainly not from the croutons that Johnny's talking about. In him, all things consist. Now, listen, I warned you at the beginning. You guys ever hear at the beginning? I warned you. I am not really good at this stuff. Look it up. Chuck Missler, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He goes through these things in such detail that you're like I'm telling you. I love listening to him, and I was just like, yeah, not going to happen. Just going to have to preach it. M-I-S-S-L-E-R. He went home to be with the Lord, in case you guys didn't know, a few months ago. He did, about a year ago, he went home to be with the Lord. Amazing. Okay, continuing. Watch this now. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. So now, you see where it says firstborn? Different word for the other firstborn. This is the actual firstborn from the dead. Who's the head of the church? It ain't Mary. Who's the head of the church? It ain't Joseph Smith. You guys don't know who Joseph Smith is. That was the leader of the, One at a time. Mormon church. Who is not Francis Chan, the liar, who thinks he's part God. This is extremely important, guys. Now remember, he was using these verses to contradict and to make sure that everybody knew who Christ was. I told you, he's answering. I wish I had all these questions. I should be like a big board. Who is he? What is he? That's what we do. But he's answering these problems that were going on in the church in Colossae to these false... See, Paul didn't really mind if he offended some religions. And neither does Ryan. I just want you to know the truth about your religion. Okay? Here's what I want you to know. If this is what you consider your religion, quote unquote, your faith, you got to know who the Lord Jesus is. And you got to know not just who he was, but what he wanted from you. Not just who he was and what he wanted from you, but what he did. I see people all the time. I hear this crazy thing. Me and my wife were at the beach. We spent a couple of days in
Singer Island. And some guy likes me. He's like, man, he says, have I seen you on TV? Have you ever fought in the UFC? It's like, well. No. But when he thought I was somebody, oh, man. Oh, you know, huh. But God. Now, I read the Bible every day, you know. Hey, Jesus, how are you? Ooh, that hurt my mouth. It should. Doesn't matter how many times you could approach that throne, it should still take your breath away. Listen to what he did. Right now, he's holding everything together. Do you understand the end times when things start breaking up? He's going to release his hand. And the neutrons will push against the protons, and the electrons will make it all go boom. Ah. Yeah, that's what an atomic bomb does, guys. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. Which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Please, let me, we ran by a word, and here's where we're going to finish, but here's where we're going to finish up. We ran by a word. Why is it now important that I told you all those things about how amazing the Lord Jesus was? Because he reconciled you to God. That word reconciled is probably the sweetest word you ever heard in your entire life. What is to be reconciled? What is reconciliation? What is to bring something together that at once was at a fancy word called enmity? Not enemy, enmity. Juxtaposed against each other. What do we have in common? We were once enemies of the cross. We once, even though we didn't know it, were opposed to God by our works. We were opposed to God by our works. How can you be opposed to God by your works? Well, some people believe that if they were brought up in a Christian family, or if they wear a Christian shirt, or they say they're a Christian, that means they're okay with God. Yet here, the Apostle Paul wrote, some of us are opposed to God by wicked works. But the blood of Christ on the cross reconciled you to him. Reconciliation's good. You ever been at enmity with anybody? If you weren't here on Wednesday night, a friend of mine, Big Paul, came to church. I hadn't seen him in a long, long time. And we used to be just like this. And I don't know what happened, but somehow we just, you know, somebody told him something about this, and then he went away and then moved here. And we weren't enemies, but where there was an enmity between us. And he showed up to church, man. And there was great reconciliation. We were reconciled with hugs and kisses. And you're big Cuban and I'm Italian, so there's a lot of slobber going on. God wants to reconcile you to himself
and by so doing sent his son so that if you would believe in him, if you would follow him, you can be reconciled to God, and that by the blood of Christ, you can spend eternity with him. Lord Jesus, we're here for so short a time. Our life is but a vapor. And what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? You don't have a job so that you can make money. You don't. You don't have a family so that you can fight against the world and its problems. You're here to share the love of Christ. And wherever God has placed you, that is what he's placed you there for. Whether you're a tattoo artist or a cop, whether you're a housewife or a boat canvas maker, whether you sell purses or commercials, whether you are unemployed right now or selling reptiles, you're not here for that. God has reconciled you to himself through the blood of his son, and he's charged you with reconciling other people to him that same way. You get that? I now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. This is what I'm talking about. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles. Before we read the rest of verse 27, let me really quickly explain that. There's a point in time where the Lord Jesus is looking at his apostles, at his disciples even, and he said something to them that when I read it, it struck me as so amazing. He said, "Blessed are you, for your eyes they do see, and your ears they do hear." So many things. And let me paraphrase, that better men than you have desired to see and did not see. That better men than you desired to hear and did not hear. There were people who sought God with everything in their heart that never saw these things. But blessed are you. And this is what he's saying to you right here. Paul's saying, listen, don't you get it? The Old Testament saints, they only had the promise. They had to believe in a promise. You have the Word of God. You have the Spirit of God who wants to take up residence in you. Do you have any idea the responsibility that comes with that? And do you know how much I had to suffer? Not me, this is the Apostle Paul, had to suffer to get this message to you. Do you understand what an amazing opportunity you have here? You can tell the entire world, I serve God. What? Do you know how many people want to do this and can't? They never heard of it. They never knew of it. They might not even believe in it. Watch what he says here at the end of verse 27. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. You could circle that word for glory right there, and you could write three things next to it. Number one, heaven. Number two, redemption. And number three, riches. The honest, that used to be like the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Glory is heaven. Glory is that you're going to be changed. That whatever you look in the mirror and don't like, you're not going to have to worry about that. The hope of glory. All the riches that are in Christ, he's given to you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. What a word. What a word. And lastly, him, the Lord Jesus, we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Don't let that verse 29 pass you by. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Let me paraphrase that for you. I can't stop myself. Can't stop. Can't stop. Can't stop. Won't stop. Won't stop. Won't stop. Yeah, but I heard there's a disease going around. They told you to shut that. Nope, can't stop. Won't stop. Ain't gonna stop. Boy, shut up, you know. Your belief system. Let me explain to you how this works, and this will close. I'll go 2 more minutes. Watch. The United States is made up of a bunch of different groups of people. And politicians who desire power, because power comes with money, they desire to do something, and that is to keep power. The European bloc of this country, otherwise known to some as Caucasians, to some as whites, they make up a majority of the people. Now, here's the problem with the majority. They go to sleep. Go back to sleep. Caucasian people, go back to sleep. Now, you have the minority, 16% African American. Now, don't tell African Americans, most of them aren't African Americans, we're calling them African Americans, and that's what they are. Then you got Hispanic. Hispanics make up about 8 to 9%. But some say a lot more, but those folks are illegally here. But if we can get them legal and we can get their vote, we can keep power. Now, here's another block of people. They are what Dave Chappelle calls the alphabet people. Now, if we can make the alphabet people all believe that they belong to the same group and get their vote, we could keep power. And if we keep power, we can keep money. So I don't care if you have a D before your belief system politically, or an R or an I or whatever it is, all these disgusting human beings, they desire one thing. That's to keep power and to stay in office. And the best way they can do that is to tell you that those other peoples don't like you. And since these Europeans have been asleep for a long time, if we take all the Hispanics, all the alphabet people, all the African Americans, which aren't really African Americans, and we put one group together, that's more than enough people. So if they will vote for us, we could keep power. And there's a lot of money in power. Why are people not going to jail for burning down churches, but are going to jail for going to church? Want to know why? I want you to look around you, what you see. Hispanics, blacks, Asian, Europeans, Caucasians. Government don't like that. Did you say Greek? Don't give him coffee before church anymore, please. Now, what does this have to do with it? Listen to me. You, Christian, are on the cusp of something extremely more important than politics. Because believe it or not, the Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Green parties, guess what they all need? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you got to be there. And what has preeminence over that? And if you let any of these people divide you, any of them, if you let any of them tell you, because here's what's next for you, Christian. How long has it been since Fort Lauderdale had a service? How long has it been since Church by the Glades had a service? How long has it been? Well, they're doing online services. Yeah. Guys, listen to what I'm telling you. Be aware of the enemy that stalks you. He's an enemy of division. He's an enemy that wants to tell you Christians hate gay people. Christians are WASPs, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Haitian people, you should go to your own church. Brazilian people, go to your own church. Does anybody ever hear the word black liberation theology? It's a church where black people belong. That's what they'll tell you anyway. They hate what we do here. We will not be numbered amongst them. And they will outlaw what we do soon. They already started. You could burn down a church. It's okay. Just don't go to a church. Because the governor will come get you. Now, why am I saying these things to you? Why am I ending this thing on a political note? I'm not. Forget politics. I don't care. I don't care one bit. I am nor Democrat nor Republican. I'm a free-thinking man. I will vote for the person that I believe the Lord has led me to vote for. Period. But you have a call. An almighty, powerful God who created you for just such a time as this. Listen, do you understand, people of the earth? Nothing like this has ever happened in the history, in the thousands of years that man has walked the earth. Nothing like this has ever happened. That the whole earth has become what? One world system. What the Bible calls an ecumenical movement. You were born for this place and time, and you weren't born to be shrinking back. You weren't born to be afraid. You weren't called to be walking this earth so you can listen. Look, do you remember Terminator 1? The underground movements? This is what's coming upon you. No joke. The kids sitting in your arms right now, what do you think they're going to develop? What kind of world do you think they're going to be living in? What do you think? They're coming up with a vaccine. Who's standing in line for that one? But you won't get the sickness. You want to know the truth? That the cases of this COVID coronavirus are going through the roof right now. But the death rate's going down. Well, if the amount of cases are going up and the death rate's going down, what are we worried about? I'll tell you what we're worried about. We're worried that we're not going to keep power. Be afraid. Stay home. Watch out. He's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Put a mask on. Don't come anywhere without a mask. We went to breakfast this morning at First Watch. You've never seen a stupider thing in your entire life, guys. There is no stupider thing in my life. You're sitting there, and I'm like, are you kidding me? You go to walk in the door. I'm sorry, you have to put a mask on. And I go, wait a second. They don't have a mask on. They don't have a mask. There's a guy gets up, goes to the bathroom. There's another guy at the cash register paying his bill. They don't have masks on. You have to come in with a mask. You are not going to tell me what to wear when I walk into this restaurant. I am sorry. You can sit outside if you want.
Could logic reign? Could anything logically reign any place in time? Okay, I'm done. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Amen?
Amen.
That's all I should have said. Father, we thank you for your word and ask you to bless us, take away any fear, any worry. God, as I started this service by saying some things are worth dying for. God, I am ready to live and to die for you and with you as you died for me. God, I pray for unity, first and foremost for the people of the body of Christ. Unity for this church, that nothing can separate us. As nothing can separate us from you, your word says, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Not height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor life, nor death, nor any created thing. So too, God, may nothing separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you that you are the firstborn over all creation, that by you all things were made there in heaven and earth, whether thrones and dominions or principalities and powers. Thank you so much, God, that you are the preeminent one. And I don't have to worship anybody but you, least of all some stupid politician. God, thank you so much. We call upon the mighty name of God to fill us. Behold, let the nations look and see. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. May it be said of this body, we dwell in unity. In Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen.